Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Chof Beis. You will notice a bow tie form. This is a continuation of a series of questions that we started in our previous shiur concerning things that can cause tumah to a person. Bomine rabo me ravhuna. Our topic heading, by the way, is on the outside margin, and it says haroe keri bekesam. Keri is the phenomenon of a male and his semen emission. A kesam is a we'll call it a toothpick, a splinter of wood, where in this case there was a person who inserted a splinter to that area of the male anatomy, and upon withdrawing the kesam, there was a drop of keri at the tip of this particular kesam. The question is, what about his tumah? In general, if a man has an emission, the emission creates tumah, and in the case of an emission of keri, a man is tomei that day till the evening, at which point before sundown he immerses himself in a mikveh, and upon sundown he then becomes tohor. So our Gemara asks, Bo mine rabo miravuna haroya keri bekesam mahu. What is the din if a person inserts a kesam to that area of the male anatomy, and upon withdrawing it, notices a drop of keri on it? The question is, it has two sides, and we label them Aleph, Oy Dilma is squiggle lined on the next line, O Dilma, Beis. So, Mimenu, Omar Rachmana, the Posuk uses the word Mimenu. Asher Teitse Mimenu Shichvas Zera. Rashi quotes that Posuk. Does the word Mimenu imply Ad Denofik Mibisoro Velo Bekesam, until it comes out naturally from his flesh and not through a kesam? Oidilmo Hai Mimenu. Maybe Mimenu means Ad Shetetse Tumaso Lachutz Vafilu Bekesam Nami. All that Mimenu conveys is that until it exits outside of his body, even if the exiting is through the kesam. Omar Lay. So Rav Huna responds, Tepukle dehu atzmo eino mitame elo b'chasimas pihoamo. Why are you talking about any tumah when there is no keri tumah until an amount that covers that particular hole or orifice appears to be covered with shichva zera? In other words, even without the kesam issue, there is still not going to be tumah unless you have this minimum amount. And Rashi says, "Eino mitame elo b'chasimas pi amo, ad shiyetze mimenu kidei chasimas pi amosoi." Until that amount, however, that amount has a certain shiur, the amount that covers that particular hole, that amount of keri exits his body. And the Rashi goes on to say, "Vehocha kevon shtehichnis le kesam." Here, upon inserting the kesam, botsar le shiura kidei kesam. So there is you're minimizing the amount of whatever the diameter of that particular kesam is. It's that much less keri that will be there. So you don't have enough keri here in order to metama the person in the first place. The Gemara asks, Lameimra dinoigeya have? In the realm of tumah concerning various kinds of emissions, we can talk about two categories. One is called nogea, contact, and the other is called ri'iya, sighting. When you're dealing with something that has a shi'ur to it, a given minimum quantity, that puts it into the realm of nogea. So the Gemara is asking, are you suggesting then that tumas keri is a function of nogea? Elo me'ato al yistor beziva. If keri is a form of tuma communicated through negia, contact, and that is understood by the fact that a shiur, a quantity, is given, so that it shouldn't serve to interrupt the 7 clean days that are necessary when a person experiences ziva. Ziva is another form of male emission where he experiences the zov flow either 2 or 3 days, 2 and certainly 3 days, or 2 or 3 on the same day even. Torah requires him to observe 7 clean days after a zov sighting. When we speak about clean days, what we really mean are emission-free days. That means that if, let us say, in the course of those 7 days, the Zav would touch a dead sheretz or a nevela, that would not interrupt his counting of the 7 clean days, because that is a form of tumah that is different than what the clean days demand. The clean days demand cleanness from emission type tumah, ri'iya, sighting type tumah, but it does not demand cleanness from contact type tumah. So now, if you categorize keri by virtue of the fact that it has a quantity as a contact type tumah, the keri should not interfere with achieving 7 consecutive clean days after a ziva sighting. Ah, but lo and behold, we see Aloma Tanya. So why does it say as follows? Zois teras hazov v'asher teitze mimenu shichva zera. That is a posuk. And in this posuk, there is a comparison between zav and shichva zera. Shichva zera is our topic of keri. Ma ziva soiseres, just like a ziva sighting during the 7 clean days undoes the consecutive clean requirement, af shichvas zera nami sosir, so to a sighting of keri or shichvas zera during those 7 days would undo the counting, whatever you've achieved. If you've counted so far 3-4 clean days, you have to start back at number 1 because of a shichvas zera experience. To review the point, if shichvas zera is categorized as a nogea type tumah, then it should not interfere, and yet in this source it says that it undoes the clean days. Omarle, so he responds, Stiro hainu taimo de soser, lefishi ef shelo below tzichsuche ziva. The reason that the shifa zera sighting during the 7 clean days interferes with the consecutive cleanness that's required is because, or is not because of the keri per se, the shichva zera per se, but it's because that it mixed in the keri of a person are droplets of ziva. Don't forget, we're talking about a person, a man, who recently had the zav sighting. So in the next next 7 consecutive clean days, it's reasonable to assume that there's going to be some a little bit of ziva still there, so that if he has a keri sighting during the 7 clean days, it's not the keri that undoes the counting. As we are trying to say, keri in effect is a tumas mago, but it's because of the droplets of ziva that are mixed in, another type of emission, those are that's a tumah of ri'iya, and that's what undoes the 7 consecutive clean days that are required. The use of the triangles here is featured on the outside margin under the Mivneh. We highlight the term Elo Me'ato, Keri Kemetame. We're focusing in our questioning on the nature of the Tumah conveyed by Keri. The point facing up we're demonstrating that it's mishum nogea, me'achar diyesh lo shiur, by virtue of the fact that it has a shiur. With it flipped around, we're going to be arguing in terms of mishum roya, meaning mishum di ef shebelo tzichzuchei ziva, the tumah of tumas of a tumah communicated through ri'ya. And it's once again not because of the keri per se, but because of the tzichzuchei ziva that are mixed in. So the Gemara asks, Elo me'ato, now that you're saying that the keri is soser not because of itself, but because of the tzichzuchei ziva, the droplets of ziva mixed in, tistor kol shiva, it should undo all 7 days. That meaning, if you had counted, let us say, 6 consecutive clean days, or you got up even to day 7, and on that 7th day there was a sighting, it should undo all 7 days. And yet, Aloma Tanya, why does it say as follows? And we'll have a Tanaic source in which the source teaches that a Shichva Zera sighting undoes only 1 day. You don't lose all the days, the clean days that you counted. You're only set back 1 day. So it says as follows, Zos Teresa Zav V'chulei. This is the same pasuk that was quoted just before. Ma ziva soiseres, af shichva zera soser. Just like ziva undoes, and that's what we saw in the previous source, so too shichva zera undoes the counting of clean days. E ma ziva soiseres kol shiva, af shichva zera nami soser kol shiva. If ziva, we know, undoes all 7 days of cleanness that you may have counted toward your purification, will you say the same thing by a shichva zera sighting during those 7 days? No. Tamad lomar l'tama ba. Ein lo ba elo ma she'omur ba. The shichva zera sighting has only that which is stated in its regard. Namely, seiseres yom echad. In other words, shichva zera is something that creates tuma of 1 day. And that's all that you will lose if you have a shichva zera sighting during those 7 clean days. You get set back only 1 day. So the question is, if shichva zera creates a setback, it should set back all 7 days because of the ziva that's mixed in. Omar lei. So he answers, gzeras hakosufi, this issue is a gzeras hakosuf. It's a divine scriptural ruling. Ziva gemura delo arva ba shichva zera soseres kol shiva. A pure ziva sighting undoes all 7 days. That's a pure ziva sighting, a ziva emission. It's a different type of emission than the shichva zera emission. If it's a pure ziva emission, that will undo 7 days. Tzichzuchei ziva de arva ba shichva zera, a ziva emission that's mixed with shichva zera, loy soiseres elo yoim echad. It sets back the clean day counting only by 1 day. So at this point, the original question that was asked was regarding someone who sees keri on a kesam. What is the din? So it's in the course of the Gemara got a bit off onto a side type discussion. However, if you work with the assumption that there is no tumas keri unless you have a full amount, a chasimas pia amo, and in this case you don't have that, so then it wouldn't result in tuma. Bo mine, this question is a third in our series of bow tie markings. The question is a long question. You can see we have a shin that's encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line. Bo mine Rav Yossi Rav Chanina Mirab Elozer Dam Yovesh Mahu. What is the din concerning dry blood? Rashi says, "Dam yovish kigov shiotsim migufa chaticha shel dam yovish," that there emerged from a woman's body a piece of dry blood. So here, too, we have two sides of the question. Do you say ki yozoiv zoiv doma omar rachmona ad the maid of dayev law? The pasuk indicates a flow of blood. Lach in yoveshlo, lach meaning something that's wet, liquidy. That yes, not something that's dry. That's not called a flow. Oidoma, hi ki yozoiv zoiv doma uchademilsehi. The Torah choice of the expression yozuv zoiv doma, a flow, is simply the normal or the expected way, but not to the exclusion of something else. And we will thereby include in general even a dry emergence of blood, an emergence of dry blood. So Rebbe Lozer responds, Tenisua. We have a Tanaic source, Dam Hanida Ubesar Hames. Mitamin lachim viaveshim. Nido, blood, and corpse flesh communicates tuma, wet or dry. So you see here that dam nido yovesh, we've dashed underlined the word the words mitamin yaveshim. That would seemingly answer the question. Omar le, so Rabbi Yossi says back, lach v'nase yovesh lo kome bayali. I'm not asking about something that when it initially emerged was wet or damp and then turned dry, which is what this source really is talking about. And how do we know that? Because this source is taught together with Besar Hames. And Besar Hames, flesh, from a corpse flesh initially, is something that's not dry. It dries out after it's let to sit aside, but it's not initially dry. So the Dam Nido featured together with Besar Hames has the same characteristics, that it was initially wet. Ki Meboyali, my question, says Rabbi Yossi, is Yovesh Meikora, something that was initially dry. It came out of her body dry. So the Gemara says back, Ha Nami Tenisua. Well, that too, Rabbi Lozer says, you can learn from the following Tanaic source. Hamapelis Kemin Klipa Kemin Saira, a woman from whom there emerges some type of scab or a hair, come in, offer some dirt, come in, yavchushin adumus, some type of red insect. Well, tatil lamayim, she should take this thing that came out from her dry, put it in water, im nimucho, tamea, if it dissolves, so she is tamea. The point of this answer is to say that something that emerges dry is also mitame. Well, the Gemara asks, "I hachi?" We're at the top line of Amud Beis. If so, that yovesh mitame, that something that's dry is capable of creating tuma, below nimuchonami, even if it doesn't dissolve in the water. Omar Rabo, kilo nimucho, if this thing that emerged doesn't dissolve, bria b'fnei atzma hi. It's a separate entity and not blood. So that the original question was, what is the din of dry blood that emerges? The answer is, first of all, we have to determine whether it really is blood. And that is only if we see it dissolve in water. If it doesn't dissolve in water, so then it's simply not blood, and that's why she won't become Tamea. But we're not excluding from Tuma something that emerges as dry. All that we're saying is that something that emerges as dry has to be subjected to a test to see whether it can be defined as blood, and that is seeing whether it dissolves in water. The Gemara asks, Umi Ika Ki Hai Gavna, is there such a thing as hairs or scabs coming out of a woman? In Vihotanya, yes, and you'll see in the following source. There are, in this source you can see, there's a double underline featured, which highlights two incidents. Omar Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Tzadok, Shnei Maisim Hela Abo Mitivin Liavne. Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Tzadok says that my father, namely Rabbi Tzadok, brought with him two incidents from Tivin. Tivin was the name of a place, to Yavne. In other words, when he came to Yavne, he told us, he recalled two incidents. Maisa Beisha Shoisim Apelis Kamin Klipois Adumos. There was an incident involving a woman that there was emerging from her body red scabs. Ubo Vishalu es Abo. They asked Abo, they asked Rabbi Tzadik, the Abo Shal Chachamim, and he sought out counsel with the rabbis, the Chachamim Shal L'Roifim. And the Chachamim asked the doctors, the Omru Lahem, the doctors told them, Isha Zu Maka Yesh La Besuch Me'eha, this woman has an internal injury, Shemimeno Mapelas Kamin Klipois, from whom there is coming forth these scabs. So the ruling then was Tatil Lamayim, put these in water, im nimocho tamea. If they dissolve, so it's a sign that they are blood, and she will become tamea as a nida. Veshuv ma'isa beisha shoyisum apelis kimin cyrus adumas. In a very similar case, same case appears, except in this case the woman featured is emitting red hairs. Ubo v'shala es abo. She asked Rabbi Tzadok. V'abo shala chom chom l'roifim. V'omru lahem, and the roifim told her shuma yesh lo besoch me'al. She has a type of wart inside, an internal type of wart. Shemimeno mapelas kemin cyrus adumos. This wart is producing these red hairs. Tati lamayim im nimochu tamea. And she's to put them in water, and if they dissolve, she will be tamea, meaning that it's a blood being released that we would call nida blood. Omar Reish Lakish Ube Poishrin. Reish Lakish says that when doing this water test, one is to use lukewarm water. Tanyo Nami Hachi Tati Lamayim Ube Poshrim. The Tanaic source backs that up, says that it's placed in lukewarm water. Reb Shmuel Amliel Omer Memachoi Baroik Al Gabi Hatziporen. Reb Shmuel Amliel has a different type of test, and that is to put saliva on the red hair or the scab that we mentioned before, and then crush it with one's fingernail. My Binayu, what would be the point of difference between these two opinions? Omar Avina, Mo'uch al yedei hadchak ikar binayu. If through pressure it becomes dissolved or softened and dissolved, according to the Tanakama, she will be Tamea only if it dissolves on its own without the fingernail pressure. According to Shimon Leal, even if it doesn't dissolve on its own, but does dissolve because of subjecting it to this pressure, that too will make her Tamea. It will demonstrate that it's dam. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading coming up. On the outside margin, we've written Zman Shias Klipos Vesaris Bepoishrin, the amount of time that the shiur zman for these scabs and hairs that are come out dry to sit in the lukewarm water, legalois yavidam letamois hoisha, in order to establish tuma for the lady. So the Gemara here presents a different case, and the issue is does it serve as a precedent, or is our case different? Here we're going to talk about the soaking of nevela and sherets that dried out. Nevela is meat from a dead animal, or sherets, an insect or a crawling creature like mice and etc. They, if they're dried out, will they convey tuma? So the source says, Hosam Tanan, we have learned there, Kamo hi shriyosan b'poshrin, how long is the soaking in lukewarm water of nevela or sheretz meat that had been dried out to establish are they capable of being matame? We should point out that if something is totally dried out, like petrified nevela meat or sheretz meat, that will not matame, won't convey tumah. it's completely dried out. But if it's dried out to a point that it could become flexible and fresh again, it will be metame. Well, how long is the test that we subject it to in order to determine that? So the source says, may ace glaze 24 hours. In other words, if after 24 hours it remains hard, it is not going to metame. It could be that if you leave it there for a week, it will become, it'll soften up. That doesn't indicate for us that it's metame. So what's the cutoff point? 24 hours of soaking. Hocha mai. Here, in our case of the dam nida, the blood of a nida, when it comes out dry, as we saw in the case of the hairs or the scabs or the piece of dry blood, how long is the soaking that was mentioned in the sources we saw above about subjecting it to soaking? How long does the soaking take place? Mi bo'ina me'es le'esolo. Do we require 24 hours or even or not or less? And we'll explain that a little bit more as we go on. Sheretz u'nevela da'akushi. Things like the sheretz or nevela, meat from sheretz or a dead animal that hardens and it becomes very hard. It's akushi, it's called hard. Bo'inon me'es le'es. You require 24 hours in order to determine whether or not it can be restored to a freshness level, whereby it would metame. Avol dam de rochich, dam which initially is a soft substance, it's softer than meat, so it's low. In order to determine its ability to become lach, you don't subject it to a 24-hour test, but a shorter test. Let's just say an arbitrary number, 10-hour test instead of 24 hours. We would then say that if it doesn't soften up in 10 hours, if it takes longer than 10 hours, it's not considered dam, even though within 24 hours it does soften up. Oy dilma lo shno, or maybe we don't make any distinction, and just like by sheretz, it's given a chance of 24 hours in order to determine whether it's lach or not, lach meaning damp or flexible, and hence able to metame, to transfer to convey tuma. Same thing with regard to the dam. Teku, this point remains unresolved. The Mishnah Adaf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph spoke about a woman that miscarries some creature, if you will, that comes out looking like a fish. And regarding this case, the Mapelis Kamin Dogim, the Mishnah said, if there is accompanying blood, so she'll be Tamea as a Nida. But if there's no accompanying blood, so the fact that a fish form came out of her does not indicate a Leida. That doesn't constitute a birth. We should note that in the Mishnah, at the Reisha of the Mishnah, where it spoke about Mapelis Chaticha, some block came out of her, some chunk came out of her, the Tanakama was argued upon by Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said whether or not, even if there's no accompanying blood, she will be Tamea. Here, when it comes to the fish form that comes out, we don't see Rabbi Yehuda saying Benkach Ubenkach Tamea. He doesn't indicate whether or not there is a. He doesn't disagree. He leaves it. It seems that he leaves it go, as the Tanakama says, that it all depends on whether there's accompanying blood. So the Gemara asks, "V'lifloig nami Rebbe Yehuda b'ha?" Why doesn't Rebbe Yehuda argue here as he did in the Reishah in the beginning and say, "Benkachu benkach," whether or not there is accompanying blood, she will be Tamea. And the idea being that whether or not there's accompanying blood, there's a concept that we've learned earlier that says e efshel psichas hakever below dam. We saw an approach like that that says it's impossible for the womb to open up without some type of blood emission. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda reflect that over here like he did in the Reisha? Amar Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish represents the first of a couple of approaches, and he says, "B'machloikes shnuya v'rabbanan hi." The Mishnah dealing with Mapelas Kemin Dogim, this section of the Mishnah is really something that is under controversy, and what's reflected in the Mishnah, what's reported in the Mishnah, is the opinion only of the Rabbanan that make it all dependent on a sighting of accompanying blood. V'Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Afilu Teimo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish and says that this section of the Mishnah might be in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda as well. Ad Kan Lokum Rabbi Yehuda Hasam. Rabbi Yehuda said his point about Tumah even without accompanying blood, that he said Hasam in the Reisha with the Chaticha, Elo Gabi Chaticha. His remark was limited to the case of the piece of that comes out, the piece of blood or chunk of blood that comes out. The Ovidam de Kurish. It is possible or it is common for blood to congeal. And Vahave Chaticha, and it becomes, it really is blood, but it just becomes a piece, it becomes a chunk. And therefore, I will impose Tumah even without the accompanying blood. Now, it's important to note that, and this is based on Rashi, that Rabbi Yochanan does not explain Rabbi Yehuda as the according to E. Efsher the Psich Sakever Beloy Dam. He is saying that the Tumah that Rabbi Yehuda speaks about is that this itself is the Dam. The Chaticha is the Dam. Not simply that the womb opened up and some Dam came out that we are not aware of. So Rabbi Yochanan does not hold from the analysis of E. Efsher the Psich Sakever Beloy Dam. Rabbi Yochanan is simply saying that Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that blood congeals and turns into a chaticha, turns into a chunk. Avol bria lo have. However, that blood would congeal into a form of a fish, that no. Bria is a separate type organism. It wouldn't turn into something having the form of a separate organism. And therefore, if there isn't accompanying blood, we're not going to say that this is a fish that happens to be a piece of congealed blood. So there, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree with the Rabbanan that if there's no accompanying blood, she will not be Tamea. Ulahach lishna di Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is a reflection back on the Gemara on the Chof Aleph Amud Beis, where, if you recall, we had Roman numerals number 1 and 2, featuring the analysis of the Machlokes Tanoim back on the Mishnah on Chof Aleph. So under Roman numeral number 2, which was a second version of that analysis, where Rabbi Yochanan said, "Be'i efsher lepsicha sekever belodam komifligi," where according to the version number 2 of that sugya, Rabbi Yochanan was in fact saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, where the block that came out, the chaticha that came out, he said the woman will be tamei anyway. And Rabbi Yochanan said, why does Rabbi Yehuda say the woman will be tamei anyway? Because of this concept of ef shel psicha sekever belodam, that if something came out of her womb, there must have been blood, even if we don't see the accompanying blood. So then, lifnog nami Rabbi Yehuda baha. So Rabbi Yehuda should have said the same thing over here with regard to the fish form that came out. The fish form came out of her womb, and efsher lepsicha sekever below dam. So Rabbi Yehuda should say, like he says in the Reisha, whether or not we see an accompanying flow, she will be tamea anyway. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda speak up over here in this section? The Gemara answers, Ma demasni hachlishna, the one who teaches this version, Roman numeral number 2, from Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, Masni Hochi, he teaches it as follows. Rabbi Yochanan v'Reish Lakish di Amri Travayu, they will both say, B'machloikis Shnuya v'Rabbanan hi, that this section of Mapelas Kemin Dogim is in fact something that is the subject of a controversy, and that which is reflected in the Mishnah is only the Shita of the Rabbanan, that she is Tamei only if there's an accompanying blood flow. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, they would acknowledge that she is Tamei even without an accompanying blood flow because of the concept of Ef shel psicha sekever beloy dam. Hamapeles, and by the way, this answer is showing how version number 2 would be treated differently than version number 1. Version number 1, we saw only Reish Lakish saying, V'machloikish shnuyev rabonani, because there is a version number 2 on Daf Chof Aleph and Beis, Reish Lakish would be joined with Rabbi Yochanan in that analysis by saying that the section of the Mishnah doing Hamapelas Kemindogim, that is only the opinion of the Rabbonan, and Rabbi Yehuda in fact would disagree. Hamapelas Kemin Behema on the Mishnah Daf Chof Aleph mentioned that if a woman miscarries a form of a behema, if it's a male, so she observes the tuma accorded to a male, and that was all Rabbi Meir's opinion. So the Gemara here, before we go further, we want to note that there is a topic heading, a structural note that is supplied on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading. We will show we will use diamonds, Roman numerals 1 through 3. My taimo de Rabbi Meir b'mapelis kamin behemo de nechshav leido. Why does Rabbi Meir feel that if a woman miscarries something that has a form of a behemo, it's considered a leido? The Chachomim in the Mishnah disagreed with Rabbi Meir and says that if it doesn't have a human form, so it's not considered a birth. But according to Rabbi Meir, it is considered a birth. And as such, we look at then the gender of this form that came out and impose on the woman the respective days of Tumah and Tahorah associated with the different types of birth, gender-wise. So we have, as far as our markings are concerned, we have Roman numerals which span the Dapim until Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, that which we indicated in our note, where you will see along Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, if you have that in front of you, Roman numerals 2 and 3 follow. Under Roman numeral number 1, we will have a couple of additional breakdowns as we go along in the Sugya. You notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text an Aleph. So, in order to appreciate Aleph, you've always got to find a Beis. Beis will be found on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, where it says on that line, V'chein Omer Reb Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, namely, he will be saying, like Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, that is the opinion that our Gemara opens up with. So a Rav Chiya Bar Abba will follow in suit, and that's why later on Chof Gimel Aleph he is labeled as Beis. The Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, my time of the Rabbi Meir. What is the basis, the source for Rabbi Meir saying that even if a behemoth, an animal form, comes out of a woman, it's considered a leida? Answer, Hoyol v'nemra boy yitzira k'adam. Since in the story of creation in Sefer Bereishis, the same verb is used as when it comes to a human creation. The word yitzira, yotzar, yitzira is used, so we know to associate animal with man. And just like with a human birth, there are rules of Tumah and Tahorah that are imposed on the woman, Tumas Leida and Yemei Tahorah that follow, so too with regard to an animal birth. Animal birth meaning an animal form that comes from a woman. The Gemara asks, Ela Me'ata. Well, if that be the case, Hamapelis Demus Tanin Tehe Imo Tameo Leida. If a woman miscarries a tanin form. Tanin, for our purposes, is a large fish. Rashi says, tanin dag godol. And yet in our Mishnah, it teaches, hamapelis min dogim tahora. If she miscarries a fish form, she is not considered a yoledis. It's not considered a birth. But if the basis of Tumas Leda being applied to a behema form is based on the presence or the presence of the word Yetzira, a word indicating creation, like the word Bria, so it would follow that a miscarriage of Tanin would result in Tumas Leda. We've used a firebox around the word Tanin because the topic of Tanin will be preoccupy this Gemara for quite a while. So let's continue again with the dashed underline point of the Gemara. We've dashed underlines because it really requires a lot of, it's the focus of a lot of attention on the part of the Gemara. In our outside margin, we've added this as a nosei hemshech, a continuation of the topic, Isha Shepil Kemin Tanin. So let's continue now in the Gemara. Elomeato, the dashed underlined section, Hamapelas Demus Tanin, Te Imo Temeo Leda, a woman who miscarried a Tanin form, large fish, she should be Temeo Leda, Hoyol Venemar Boy Yitzira Kodam. Since the Yitzira term appears by the Tanim Shenemar, Vayivro Elikim es Hataninim Hagdolim. That's the question. And you see, we've dashed underlined Vayivro because we're associating that right now with the word Yitzira. Both are words indicating formation, creation. The Gemara answers on that very point, Amri Donin Yitzira Miyitzira, V'ein Donin Bria Miyitzira. Where two have the word Yitzira, we compare one topic to the other. In the case of man, you see the word Yitzira. In the case of behemoth, you find the word Yitzira. And we should point out that Rashi quotes the respective psukim. Rashi points out, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Chayas Esad V'Esayif V'Chulei. And it says, by man, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Esa Odom Ofer Min Adama. But by the Tanim, you have the word Vayivra. It's a different word form. The Gemara asks, my nafka mina, which in our language we would say, so what? Or what difference does it make? Whether it's exactly the same root form or not. Ha tana debe Rabbi Shmuel. We have a teaching of Rabbi Shmuel that concerns a totally unrelated topic for our purposes, but it's the topic of nige botim, houses that are afflicted with tzoras. And there are two topics within the heading of Tumas Botim which are compared to one another, even though you don't have the same words. You have a concept comparison. And the Psukim themselves, one says Vishav HaKayin, and the Pasuk says Uvo HaKayin. And we learn Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia. Whatever rules apply to the Shiva, the return of the Kohen, applies to the case of the coming of the Kohen. We are deliberately not getting involved with any details concerning Tumas Botim. All we're trying to point out is that there is precedent for saying that in order to make a Gezerah Shava, a word comparison, you don't have to be fixated on the exact or literal word similarity. As long as you have a conceptual similarity, that is enough for making this comparison. So at this point we're asking, you have the Tana Beis Rabbi Shmuel telling you that you don't have to have exact words, and if for some reason you get fixed on that you should have exact words, V'od, furthermore, we can tell you, Nigmar Bria Mibria. Why not do an exact word comparison between man creation and Tanim creation, V'chtiv, V'yivro Elokim Esa Adam B'tzalmo. So here you've got the word Bria by a person. So why not, once again, compare the two and say that if you're saying the Tumas Leda of a woman who's Mapil Min Behema is a result of comparison between man through the word Yitzira, well, you can compare Tanim to Adam through the word Bria. The Gemara answers, Amri, Vayivra Legufe. The word Vayivra by an Adam is needed for itself. In other words, it's not available for a drosha. Vayitzer la'afnuye. The word vayitzer is an extra expression, v'donim yitzira miyitzira, and therefore we compare the man to animal, to behemoth, because both have yitzira. And as far as an attempt to compare Adam to Tanim through Bria, well, the word vayivra by Adam is simply not available for this comparison. Adaraba, to the contrary, vayitzer lugufe, why not say that vayitzer is needed for itself, for the purpose of the story itself, and vayivra lafnuye, and the word vayivra is extra, v'donin bria mi bria, and then compare Adam to the Tanim, and compare the Tanim to Adam, and say there's Tumas later by the Tanim. Ella. Vayitzer, so rather we're going to say, we're going to adopt a slightly new approach. Vayitzer mufne mishnei tzadim. The word vayitzer is free, is open, or available, or is extra on both sides of the equation. Mufne gabi Adam, umufne gabi behema. It's free by the person, because by the person, as far as the storyline is concerned, it says vayivro elokim es ha'adam b'tzalmoi. So that frees up the word yitzira for a drosha, for our extra learning purposes. And the word yitzira is also available by behema, as the Gemara will demonstrate later on. Vayivra gabi Adam mufne. The word vayivra is open, is available by Adam. That is true because you would have the vayitzer expression. Gabi taninim eino mufne. However, by the taninim, the word bria is not open. It's not available. It's needed for itself. It's not available for a gzera shava. And therefore, the fact that the Adam behema relationship is, you have extra words on both sides of the equation to enable us to make this word comparison, it is a stronger approach and stronger conclusion than trying to compare Tanin to Adam, because in that case, only on one side of the equation do you have an open expression. The Gemara asks, my mufne gabi behema, you said that by behema the vayitza word is available. How is it available? How is it extra? Ilema, if you are going to claim midichti vayas elikimes chayas haoretz, because you have another word of creation by animals, where it says vayas and he made them, uksi vayitzer Hashem Elokim min adomo kochayas asadeh, so that you have vayas and vayitzer, so one of them is extra, and that's how we're going to see vayitzer is extra by animals. Well, gabi tanim nami afnuye mufne. Well, then tanim is not any weaker in so far as you have the same thing, same phenomenon, which would make the bria word extra by tanim. Dichtiv, it says there's a, in the pasuk of vayas that we just read, just the line before vayas lekim es chayso haretz, it goes on to say v'es kol remes wa'adama. So you have remes mentioned there, which would include supposedly the tanim. Uksi vayivro lekim es ataninim hagadolim. So you've got a vayas and vayivro. Vayas would be telling me the basic storyline, and vayivra being an extra word. So just like vayivra would be extra by man, so too vayivra is extra by the tanim. The Gemara rejects this and says, remes dichtiv hasam, the word remes that appears in the vayas pasuk, the yabosha he who. That's remes, those are creatures, crawling creatures of dry land, not sea creatures. The tanim being a sea creature, so there's no allusion in the vayas posuk to the tanim at all. Therefore, the word vayivra by the tanim is not an extra expression. It's not available for a gezera shava. Umay nafkamino bein mufne mitzad echod and mufne mishnei tzadim. What is the difference between a gzereshava, a word comparison that is open or is extra or available only on one side of the equation, as opposed to a gzera shava that's open on two sides of the equation. Nafka mina the Omar Rav Yudah Omar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. The nafka mina will be illustrated in the following case. Now you can see that we have a crown form, and on the outside margin we have a tatnosei, calling this a subtopic. These are klolim begzera shava, rules concerning gzera shava, word comparison making. And you have three levels, we'll say. One is she'eno mufne, where there are words that are similar on both sides of the equation, but they're not available. Mufne mitzad echad, something that's open on one side, where there's an extra word on one side of the equation, and there's mufne mishnei tzadim. So he gives the following breakdown, and there those three elements are featured now in the Gemara. So he says, kol gzera shava sheina mufne kol ikar, any gzera shava that's not that neither side of the equation, the two topics, want to compare one to the other, where you don't have any extra words, you don't have any, as we demonstrated before, the possibility of words being extra because whatever is being described is taken care of in another pasuk. But if you have a situation where there is no extra word on either side of the equation, ein lemeidim heimena, so there is no comparison to be made, nothing is to be learned from it. Mufne mitzad echad, if on one side of the equation a word is extra, the Rabbi Yishmael lemeidim vein meshivin, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you make the comparison even though it's open or extra word only on one side, and you don't even ask on it. It's a solid gezer she'ein meshivin, means you don't attempt to ask on it. You leave it as a legitimate comparison of two topics. The Rabbonon lemeidin umeshivin. According to the Rabbonon, though, you can try to make the gezera shava. However, if there is a weakness to it or some type of point of difference that could be raised as an objection, you do ask on it. You do raise the objection. Mufne mishnei tzadim. If both sides of the equation have extra words, divrei hakol lemeidin v'ein meshivin. Everyone will agree that you make the word comparison and you do not ask questions even if you see differences. The Gemara now asks, let us focus on Shitas Rabbi Shmuel. Uva Rabbi Shmuel, my hiko bein mufne mitzad echad lemufne mishnei tzadim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, what's the difference between a gzera shava that's open, or where you have an extra word only on one side, and that which is extra on both sides of the equation? After all, Rabbi Shmuel said that even in the case of mufne mitzad echad lemeidin v'ein meshivin, and if you see a question that could be raised, you still don't raise it. The word comparison makes it draws you to a solid conclusion without the ability to ask questions. So the Gemara answers, if you want to know what the difference between the two is, nafka mina, the practical outcome or difference will be v'heichad de'ika mufne mitzad echad u'mufne mishnei tzadim, where I have the chance to compare something to something else where you have only one extra word, or to make a comparison between that item and some other item where you have extra words on both sides of the equation. So shavkinon mufna mitzad echad, we will forego the comparison to that which is open on one side. The alfinon mufna mishnei tzadim, and opt to make the comparison to that which is open on both sides. The Gemara continues. We're at the top of Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. Ulahachi afne rachmona lebehema mishnei tzadim. And it's for this very reason that the Torah presented the behema as having the behema person comparison as having extra words on both sides of the equation. We said the word vayitzer was extra in the case of man and in the case of behema. Why? Ki hechi delo nigmar min mufna mitzarechod, so as not to learn a tanin Odom comparison, where there you had the extra word only on one side of the equation in the case of the man, but not in the case of the tanim. Rav Acha Brei de Rava Masni Law Mishmei de Rabbi Elazar Lekula. The rules that we are presenting, he presents as well, and you can see we have another crown shape indicating his version of presenting the rules. So the squiggle underline under Masni Law indicates a second approach to the way we make these Gezeira Shavas, or the way, let's say, to present these rules of Gezeira Shava making. So, and we call this version Bays in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. So version Aleph was presented to us by Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, and here you have Rabbi Lozer's presentation. And he says he presents it lekula. Well, what does that mean? As follows: Kol gezera shava she'ena mufne kol iker lemeidin umeshivin. He is lekula. Literally means lenient. Notice he gives you he doesn't require so much extraness or availability in order to generate a gezera shava at its initial stages. He says even if you have no extra words on either side of the question, you can attempt to make the gezera shava. That's lemeidin. Umeshivin means that if you have a point of difference to raise, or a question to raise, you can then raise it. Mufne mitzad echad. Let's say it's you have a gzera shava that's on one side of the equation. You have an extra word. Rabbi Shmuel lemeidin v'ein meshivin. According to Shmuel, you can make the gzera shava. Not only that, but you don't raise objections. The Rabbanon lemeidin umeshivin. You make the gzera shava, but if there is something to ask on it, some reason to question it, you can raise the question, and that will thwart the gzera shava. Mufne mishnei tzadim, divrei hakol lemeidin v'ein meshivin. If it's open on both sides, if you have an extra word on both sides, everyone agrees, you make the gzera shava, and you do not raise any questions. The Gemara asks, ulu rabbonon, ma'iko vein mufne mitzad echad l'sheina mufne kol ikar. Focusing here on the Shitas HaRabbanon, what is the difference between Mufne Mitzad Echad, which the Rabbanon said Lemeidin Umeshivin, and Eino Mufne Kol Iker, which we said Lemeidin Umeshivin? So you see Lemeidin Umeshivin in both cases. What's the difference between them? The Gemara answers, and this answer takes a few lines to develop. We have a long answer marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Nafke Mina Hecha de Mishkachas La Mufne mitzad echad, v'sheino mufne kol ikar. The nafkamina, the practical difference will arise where you have the chance to compare a particular item to two different items. In one case, it's mufne, there's an extra word on one side of the equation. In the other case, there are no extra words. V'lav lahai is lay pircha, v'lav lahai is lay pircha. And there is no question to be raised on either, according to either one of the choices. So I've got an element that I can compare either to one thing, or that same element compared to something else. And in one case, it's mufne mitzad echad, and the other case, it's not mufne either from mikolikar. I have no questions to raise in either case. Nevertheless, shavkinon she'eno mufne kol iker, I will abandon or avoid the case where the equation where there is no extra word on either side. V'gamrinon mi mufne mitzad echad, and opt to learn the gezera shava where at least on one side of the equation there is an extra word. Here, the Gemara reflects back on that which we learned much earlier. V'hocha, in the Gezera Shava, where we said that between Adam and the Tanin, we had a question to raise. V'hocha, my pircha ika, what pircha could you possibly raise? Rashi focuses the question on the upper part of the narrow lines. V'ocha mai pircha iko klomar. V'ocha b'gzera shava detani a'odam, regarding the gzera shava that we were trying to make with regard to man. We're trying to compare something else to man in so far as tumas leida is concerned. Mat shuva iko. What question, what objection could you raise? The koamris that we said before, the nicholach lemigmar mechaya, that led us to conclude that it's easier for us to compare Adam to Chaya, tavimufna mishneit stadim, where I have two on two sides of the equation an extra expression. We said the word vayitzer was extra. Mishum de'ein meshivin, and the only reason we make that comparison, Adam to Chaya, is because you have extra words on both sides of the equation. And velo nigmar bria bria mi tanin, and we don't make the gzera shava with the tanin. Why? Mishum de'mufna mitzad echadu u'meshivin, and there we do raise the objection of some question, some difference between the two sides. Umay yislach lo selve. What is that question? Let's go over this point again. We're comparing Adam to something else. You have a choice of comparing Adam to Behemon Chaya or comparing Adam to Tanim. We chose to compare Adam to Behema. Why? Because on both sides of the equation you have an extra word, which tells us that even though you could raise an objection, the fact that you have extra words on both sides of the equation, that overrules the objection you could raise. Well, what is that objection that I could have raised? Mishum, the Gemara answers, Mishum, de'iko le'mifrach, mal odom shekein metame mechayim. How can you compare any other creature to man, where man is makabel tumo when he is alive? People become tame. Creatures, animals, fish, etc., don't become tomei when they are alive. Therefore, there's a fundamental difference between Adam and other creatures. So then how is it that I'm able to compare other things to Adam with regard to this tumas leida phenomenon? The only reason is because I have a gzera shava, where I have extra words on both sides of the equation, which tells me overlook the question you can raise and make the comparison. However, in the case of Adam Tanim, I had an extra word only on one side of the equation, and therefore it's not strong enough to overrule this very question that we just learned, Shekein Metama Mechayim. You notice the base to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We indicated why this is here earlier. V'chein omer Reb Chiya bar Abba and Reb Yochanan. Reb Chiya bar Abba quotes Reb Yochanan, just like we saw the opinion of Reb Yehuda Omar Shmuel on the previous Omid. Hainu taimo de Rabbi Meir. This is the reason for Rabbi Meir that says, Ma'pelas kamin behema, there is tumas leida. Since you have by behema the same word of creation as you find by man, enabling us to compare the two. With this in mind, the Gemara has a series of questions that apply to the to this particular approach called learning behema from Adam through Yitzira. We have the use of a You see the double underline with dots in it, forming a series of questions. Ella Omerle Rabbi Ami asks Ella Me'ato. Now that you've come to this conclusion of learning through Yitzira, Mapelas de Mushar, a woman who gives birth to a mountain form. Imo Tameo Leda, are you going to say that the mother has experiences Tumas Leda? Shinemar, the Pasuk says, by the creation of mountains, Kine Yoitzer Horim Uvore Ruach. So you see the Yitzira word by mountains. And we don't see any indication of a woman becoming Tame Tumas Leda because of giving birth to a mountain. Omar Lei, so he answers, Har Mi Komaplis. Does a woman give birth to a mountain? Does she miscarry a mountain? Evan he dekam maflis. What she dekam apelis. What she might be miscarrying is a stone. Hahu gush ikri. That's called a chunk. And you don't have the word yitzira in the context of chunks. So you may have the word yitzira in mountains, but a woman doesn't miscarry a mountain, so the question is a non-starter. Elo me'ato, and you'll notice we have a long question marking here to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Elo me'ato ma'peles ruach tehe imo tameo leida. If a woman has a burst of air that comes, or a burst of wind that comes forth from her, are you going to tell us that she is tameo leida? Hoyo venemra bo bria kadam. Since in the case of wind, you have the word bria just like you have by adam. Dichtiv uvo re ruach. In that same pasuk that we quoted just above, you see the word bo re ruach. V'chitema lo mufne, and if you'll say, well, it's not available, it's not extra. So the Gemara says it is extra. Midahavi le lemichtav yoytzer horem uruach. The pasuk could have used one verb form for both mountains and wind. Uksiv ubore ruach, and stuck in an extra word ubore ruach shmami nolaf nuya. We see that it is available. So at this point, we're still in a question mode, whereby a woman, are you going to say that a woman that has a burst of air that comes out of that part of her body, the birth section, that she will become Tamei Oleda? Omar Le, so he answers no. Donin divrei Torah mi divrei Torah. We learn Torah words, we compare Torah words one to the other. The ain donin divrei Torah mi divrei Kabbalah. But we don't learn a comparison between words found in the Torah from words found in the prophets, in this case in Sefer Amos Perek Dalid, where the word ubore ruach appeared. So since you don't compare the word vayivra that you find in the context of man in the Torah in Sefer Bereishis with a word found in Nevi'im, therefore there is no comparison, there is no reason to think that a woman would be Tamei Oleda for a burst of wind that comes forth from her. In Mirza Shem, in our next year, we will see two more approaches to explaining the opinion of Rebbe Meir, why there's Tumas Leda upon the birth of a, or the miscarriage of a Behema form. But with that, we conclude our shiur for today.